Well, if you have your Bible, please do turn with me to Ruth chapter 3. As we were saying with the children, the eighth book of the Bible is what we're thinking about last Sunday and this Sunday. And we were learning a number of things last week. And I want to focus in this morning really on Ruth chapter 3. If you want a text, if you like, for this morning, it's Ruth 3 and verse 9, where Ruth says, "Spread the corner of your garment over me, since you are a kinsman redeemer." As with all of Scripture, we need to bear in mind, and it often sheds much light, that the context of a particular passage. And the context of the book of Ruth, as we were commenting last week, is literally the previous book, the seventh book of the Bible, the book of Judges. And in many ways, the very last verse of that book summarizes the situation in which the book of Ruth is found. Judges 21 and verse 25, "In those days Israel had no king. Everyone did as he saw fit." And what we have, and again, if you are somebody who's interested in photography, you will know that there are times that you want to take a wide angle picture of what's going on, a picture of what's going on generally in the big horizon. And that in many ways is the book of Judges. But there are also times when you want to take a look in a very focused way on what's actually happening. And that is what we have in the book of Ruth. We have, if you like, the telescopic lens zooming in, zooming right in to the little town of Bethlehem, and in particular, not just to the town generally, but almost, if you like, to a barley field in and around Bethlehem, and a lady called Ruth and her mother-in-law Naomi, who have just returned from Moab. Ruth grew up as a Moabite lady, but she had been married to one of Naomi's sons who has now passed away. And Naomi told Ruth to stay in her own country. "But no," said Ruth, "I will come with you. Your God will be my God, and your people will be my people." And so the telescopic lens zooms right in, if you like, to the barley fields around Bethlehem. And it gives us an extraordinary way, a picture that in difficult days, in problem days, in sad days, in tragic days, in uncertain days, what is the one big thing that believing people need to remember? It is that God is still God, and God is still working out his purposes. And the purpose that he is working is a purpose of redemption. And so, folks, immediately, and I'm sure that there is someone here this morning, and that is actually what you need to hear. You need to be reminded of that this morning from the Word of God. In difficult days, in sad days, in troubled days, in uncertain days, that God has not abandoned you, that God is with you, that God is still working out his purposes in his Son, Jesus Christ, for your life, for the life of each and every community of God's people throughout this world. If we do not accept that, if we forget that, if we walk away from that, then we are in serious trouble spiritually. The other thing I want you to remember is that every single book of the Bible, points us in the direction of the Lord Jesus. And you will see again this morning, as we saw last week, that even this little book of Ruth is not just, and I keep saying this, but deliberately, it's not just a story about Ruth. It's not just a story about Ruth and Boaz coming together. It's much more than that. Much, much more than that. And any youth leader or Sunday school teacher who tells the children the story of Ruth and leaves it at the point, well, it's a nice story about Ruth and Boaz, I'm sorry to have to say they haven't actually done the correct thing. It's much, much more than that. And so we are reminded of the words of Jesus, Luke 24 and 27, where Jesus said to his disciples, and beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what is said in all the scriptures concerning himself. You see, the book of Ruth is about Jesus. I hope you understand that. I'm sure you do. The book of Ruth is about Jesus. In the same way that every book of the Bible is about Jesus Christ. Jesus Storybook Bible, that's why we give out those little Bibles to the children. Because that's what the Bible's about. Over and above everything else, it's about Jesus Christ. And in this story, Boaz is the Redeemer. But here's what I want you to notice. Boaz is a kinsman Redeemer. But he points to the Redeemer. Let me illustrate just very simply in a couple of ways, and then we'll focus on one of them, how that happens. Think about it this way. In Boaz's day, there had been a great famine, and God visited Bethlehem in Boaz's day so that the people would not die of hunger. And that points to another occasion when God visited Bethlehem so that the people would not perish from spiritual hunger. God visited Bethlehem and a little baby was born who grew up and who went about saying, I am the bread of life and he who follows me will not hunger. In the story, and we're going to focus on this in just a little bit more detail, but Ruth asks Boaz to spread the corner of his garment over her. And that is pointing us to how we also must say to our Redeemer to cover us. To cover us with his garment of righteousness. To sit at his feet. More of that in a moment. But also another way in which this points to Jesus. Boaz, what did he do? He rose from the threshing floor and he, the very next day, went outside the city gates to redeem. And Hebrews 13 and 12 speaks of the Redeemer, Jesus Christ, going outside the gates to redeem. So, you see, when you begin to dig into the Word of God, you begin to see how it points to the Lord Jesus. But let me just, in the time that I have, focus just for a short time on this text. Spread the corner of your garment over me. Just a few very simple points. Notice this. The person to whom she came. In this story, Ruth comes to the threshing floor and she comes to Boaz. Who is Boaz? Boaz is her kinsman redeemer. We talked about that last week. And this is a very, very simple point. Ruth came to her Redeemer. And folks, that is what each and every one of us need to do. We need to come to Jesus. That is the call of the gospel, plain and simple. In a moment or two, we will close with that lovely hymn, "Jesus, Lover of My Soul," which, by the way, and it's most appropriate to be able to mention this on this particular weekend. Did you know that during the First World War, chaplains took note of hymns that they would have heard the men singing in the trenches? Do you know what one of those hymns was? "Jesus, Lover of My Soul." It was one of the most popular hymns amongst many of the soldiers. "Other refuge have I none. Hangs my helpless soul on thee," says that hymn. "Other refuge have I none." And do you realize this morning, folks, I hope that you do, that you do not have any other refuge other than Jesus Christ. And so you must come to him. And so we touch on things here that many of you have heard countless times within these walls and elsewhere, that your good works will not save you. Your church attendance will not save you. Your prayer now and again uttered will not save you. Your lifting the Bible down sporadically will not save you. Only Jesus Christ will save you, on coming to him decisively and humbly to put your trust in him. And that is why preachers and pastors and ministers and evangelists have followed the example of John the Baptist, who came crying, "Behold the Lamb. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Behold the Lamb. Look to Jesus. Come to Jesus." Is there anyone here this morning and you still, despite the years, despite the countless occasions, and you still have not come to Jesus? The person to whom she came. The second thing I want you to notice here, very simply, is, we can take the third one down there, Bill, the posture which she took. Verse 8 tells us that in the middle of the night something startled the man, and he turned and he discovered a woman lying at his feet. The posture which she took. It's a very, very simple lesson. She came to the feet of her Redeemer. And sinners are to come to the feet of Jesus. We're to come to his feet. We're to bow before him. We're to fall before him. "Praise my soul, the King of heaven," already quoted, "to his feet your tribute bring. Approach my soul, the mercy seat, where Jesus answers prayer. There humbly fall before his feet, for none can perish there." Folks, it's a profoundly simple lesson. How does somebody become a Christian? They come to Jesus. They bow at his feet. They say, "Lord, save me. Lord, come and touch me." Are you willing to do that? Some people are not willing to do that. And one of the things that stops them from doing that is the pride in their hearts. Pride is an awful thing. You know that pride was the original sin in the universe in which we live. It was pride in the heart of the great angel that caused him to think that he was as good as God and brought about literally the fall. And that original sin, that original act of pride, has been passed on in every generation. It is in your heart and it is in mine. And there are many people today, maybe some here, I don't know, certainly many throughout our community. And what is it that's stopping them to come to Jesus or even to come to church? It's pride. It's pride. The posture which she took, she came to the feet of Jesus. The request which she made, well, verse 9, this is, we've touched on this again, spread the corner of your garment over me, since you are a kinsman redeemer. Let me paraphrase that in a very simple way. She said to Boaz, cover me. Cover me. It's interesting, and I'm not sure whether the writer of that hymn that was sung often by the soldiers during the First World War, Jesus, Lover of My Soul, I don't know whether the writer of the hymn was thinking of this passage of Scripture, but it struck me that one of the verses, plenteous grace with thee is found, grace to cover all my sin. Let the healing streams abound, make and keep me pure within. And here's Ruth saying to Boaz, Boaz, cover me. What was she saying? Well, she was saying, Boaz, take away my hunger. Give me a family. Give me hope. Give me future. Make me part of your bride. And folks, that is what a sinner does when they come to Jesus. They say, Lord Jesus, I am empty. Fill me up. Lord Jesus, I am hungry. Satisfy that hunger. Lord Jesus, I'm thirsty spiritually. I can't quite find what I'm looking for. Come and satisfy that. Lord Jesus, I'm struggling. Come and help me. Lord Jesus, I'm beset with many issues and many problems and guilt and fear and uncertainty. Come and give me your peace. Lord Jesus, cover me. And folks, the wonder of the gospel is, as we finish this little focus this morning, is that we notice not only the person to whom Ruth came, she came to the Redeemer, the posture which she took, she fell at his feet. The request which she made, cover me. The redemption which she experienced. In chapter 4, you will read these words in verse 9, where Boaz says to those around him, today you are my witnesses. I have acquired Ruth the Moabitess as my wife. She had been redeemed. That's what that means. And folks, the simple gospel message is this. For all of you who are here this morning, and for any who might be watching this service at a distance, maybe in your own home, here is the simple message I want to leave with you. That if you come to Jesus Christ, the one who died for your sins and rose again, the one who took God's punishment in your place, if you come to Jesus and sit at his feet in repentance and faith and say, Lord Jesus, will you cover me? Will you save me? Cover me with the garment of your righteousness. You will be redeemed. And you will be able to sing, redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. So this morning, a very simple but wonderful picture painted of the redemption. And let me ask you this morning, you can only answer this in your own heart. Are you redeemed? Have you come to Jesus? Have you come to his feet and said, Lord Jesus, cover me, save me? Yes, you've been going plenty of other places to try and get some redemption in this world, but you haven't found it. And I'm not surprised, because none but Christ can satisfy. None other name for me. There's love and life and lasting joy, Lord Jesus, found in thee. May God help us to come to the feet of Jesus and to say, Lord Jesus, cover me, save me, to experience that redemption. Let us pray. Lord, we pray that even as we sing this closing hymn, Jesus, lover of my soul, and Lord, even as the men sang it 100 years ago, and in a short time, some of them were in eternity. Lord, we pray that through the ministry of that song and through the ministry of your word preached and taught, that by your Holy Spirit, that you would draw many to the feet of Jesus, where we would say, Lord, cover me, save me, cover me with the blood of Jesus, that I might be redeemed. Lord, hear our prayer, and we ask it in our Saviour's name. Amen.